All right, have you heard about the alien war in the woods? Not really a war, maybe a battle. But in 1955, the Kelly, Kentucky alien invasion. And there's two sides of the story. There's, the account of what happened, the eyewitness account of what happened or the supposed events, but there's also the skeptical side of it, and I want to look at both. So again, this is from 1955. So this was in Kelly Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and the events in Kentucky would actually begin on the night of August 21st, 1955, and are still being discussed and debated today. So apparently, what happened is that a family would have a battle with a group of small alien creatures. Excuse me. Again, I apologize for talking a little slow and kind of being out of breath. For those just joining us, I am 2 days out of surgery. So the day before yesterday, I had knee surgery, and I'm still working out all the medicine and everything from my body. But I didn't want to miss a week of video. I wanted to still do this for you guys because I love you guys, and it's worth it to me. And I can't just sit in bed and not do anything. So I wanted to do this. Prayers for healing and stuff would be much appreciated. Okay, so Billy Ray Taylor and his wife were visiting the Sutton farm on this particular night. Billy exited the house to go fetch water from the Sutton family well. Now, while drawing water, he witnessed an immense shining object landing about a quarter of a mile from the house. Now, he was obviously excited but also frightened, so he ran back to the house with the news, but no one at first took him very seriously. Now, soon after, strange things began to occur. The family dogs began to bark outside, and the man of the house, Lucky, along with Billy Ray, went outside to see what the problem was. And they were both stunned when they saw a 3 to 4 foot tall creature making its way towards them, with its hands up, apparently. The two men described the creature as like nothing they had ever seen before. It had large eyes, a long, thin mouth, thin, short legs, large ears, and its hand ended with claws. So Billy Ray fired a 22 caliber rifle, and Lucky fired a shotgun, and the barrage of bullets apparently had no effect on this being. Now, Lucky and Billy both knew that they had to hit their target at that close range, but the small creature did a backflip and then scurried into the woods. The two men went back into the house, but soon another creature was seen looking at them through a window. So they both again blasted away. They ran outside to see if they had killed it, but didn't find anything. But a large hole was later seen through the screen where the shots had actually been fired. So this cat and mouse game continued into the night as the creatures would appear and disappear. And realizing that they were up against something out of the ordinary, the family decided to run from the house and ask for assistance from the police station in the little city of Hopkinsville. Now, it took two vehicles to hold everyone, but off they went. And after hearing their bizarre story, Sheriff Russell Greenwell thought that they were joking. Finally, the family convinced him that they were not making up the story, and Greenwell decided to go to the Sutton farmhouse. So when the police arrived at the farmhouse and searched the area around the house, no evidence of any creature was found. However, they did find numerous bullet holes through the windows and walls of the house. So over 20 policemen were involved in the search. The police admitted that the Suttons, they were not drunk, and they were genuinely frightened by something or someone. Nearby neighbors did confirm strange lights in the sky and hearing of bullets being fired, but nothing else was found, so the police left at 2:15 a.m. Now, after the police were gone, apparently the aliens returned, and the earlier battle was repeated. The gunfire had no effect on the creatures, and altogether 11 people were present at the Sutton family farmhouse. Now, not all of the 11 witnesses, or not all of the 11 witnesses actually witnessed the strange events of the night. So June Taylor was too frightened to look. And Lonnie Langford and his brother and sister were hidden during the encounter, which still left 7 witnesses to the encounter. The police department requested the Air Force to investigate the happenings at the Sutton house. They also did a search of the house and surrounding areas, but without any solid evidence being found. Now, the morning of the Air Force search, Lucky and Billy Ray had gone to Evansville, Indiana, on family business. The five remaining witnesses of the events of the night before were interviewed by Air Force personnel, giving their full account of the night of terror. The story of the small alien spread quickly, and the Kentucky New Era newspaper published the story of the family's encounter on August 22nd, 1955. Now, in the beginning, most of the public believed the Suttons were perpetuating a hoax. But if this was the case, people, you know, started developing questions like what would be the reasons? You know, they didn't make any money from the story and only accruing debt by damaging their house. So could all of their trouble have been to get their names on a local newspaper? That doesn't really seem likely. All of the witnesses to the strange events of the night of August 21st, 1955, made sketches of what the creature looked like, and the drawings were practically identical. Now, almost a year later, the case was investigated by Isabel Davis, and she believed that the Suttons were telling the truth. Even famed UFO investigator Dr. J. Allen Hynek believed the accounts of the Kelly aliens and discussed the case with Davis. So this case is still being investigated today, and there have been many books and television specials made relating to the Kentucky events of 1955. And again, this is one of those, this is one of those stories that's so weird and unusual because it's not a typical gray alien. I mean, if you look up pictures online, they almost look like elves because they have pointy ears. They sort of do look like the gray aliens, but with pointy ears. And it's very unusual and strange, and it seems like those ones are a little bit easier for people to believe. I'm stuck on this one. I don't know what to make of it. I do want to go to the other side of it and talk about the skeptical end of it and why people are skeptical. To me, if there was any kind of interaction here, if there was, well, I should phrase it, if there's any otherworldly interaction, I don't think it was aliens. I think it would be something spiritual, especially if you're shooting the thing and nothing's happening. I would think that it would be something spiritual. But there's also another way of looking at it. So the first, widely published skeptical work on this episode was done in preparation for the town of Hopkinsville 50-year anniversary of the event at their Little Green Men Festival in 2005. So the town's Chamber of Commerce hired full-time paranormal investigator Joe Nickel from the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry to give a talk on the strange episode. And Joe did his homework, spending a number of days interviewing surviving witnesses and going through the town's old records and newspaper archives. And in addition, the Kentucky New Era newspaper published a special 12-page supplement titled "It Came from Kelly" that included all the paper's past reporting of the event along with some retrospectives. Now, many have the opinion that Nickel's skepticism is well justified. So one of the first things that strike some skeptics about this case is that there's never been any plausible reason to connect the bright light streaking overhead with the creatures. According to a 1955 reporting of the event by Kentucky New Era's Joe Doris, Billy Ray Taylor only told the Suttons he saw the bright shooting star. Only in later retellings of the story by various authors did the element appear of Billy Ray watching a spaceship come down and land. Yet the corroboration by other witnesses in other locales who also saw a fireball has been cited as evidence of a USO. But where's the logic in that? So such reports are what we would expect to hear. And usually what we do hear whenever there's a meteor over a populated area. So the Kappa Cygnids is a minor meteor shower that was taking place at that very time. That's part of the broader Perseids meteor shower. Even the Fort Campbell observers reported seeing this. Now, maybe the facet of the story that's most strongly considered to be evidence of its factual and literal nature is the involvement of the United States Air Force. Previous authors have stated that the Air Force listed the encounter as unidentified, but rather than go on with that, we can see what it actually says in Project Blue Book. So Blue Book's archives are available online and searchable. So you can actually just do a quick search for Hopkinsville. But the only significant result that comes up is from an undated notes for a lecture in the Air Force's UFO program. So on page 10, it says, hoaxes, one phase of operations which takes so much time and effort, not to say unlimited patience, is the consistent flow of sightings found to be or strongly believed to be deliberate hoaxes. Many of these hoaxes are crude. Others are devilishly clever. I should like to present only a few examples from our files with a few comments regarding each. So and that's the end of the thing. So a list of named cases then follows. And on the last item on the list is Hopkinsville Little Green Men case. Now, unfortunately, any accompanying slide or comments were not included, but it still leaves little doubt as to what the Air Force's actual opinion of the Hopkinsville case is. Now, there have been others that have dug even deeper and found that there's good reason for the Air Force to have held a dismissive attitude towards the case. So despite what's claimed in virtually all the books, you know, apparently the Air Force was never involved at all, at least so far as some skeptics have been able to find. And so the lack of any in-depth description in the Project, you know, Blue Book, that would make sense. Now, the claim that Air Force investigators showed up the next day at Mrs. Lankford's house has been published a number of times by later authors. But again, you can't find any corroborating evidence of this. Reporter Joe Doris was there the following day in 1955 and met Mrs. Lankford, who had been shooing tourists away all day. But the most notable thing that he could find was that Mrs. Lankford's daughter was having a lot of trouble holding her cat, which ripped up one of the screen doors. So if Air Force investigators have been there as well, it seems probable that Doris would have reported that fact. Now, the four military police who accompanied the police officers on the night of the event were from an Army base, not an Air Force base. And again, no record can be found of who called them or why. But some assumptions have been put forth that the police requested their assistance for their firepower upon hearing that a gunfight had been taking place. And, you know, many would say that there's no real reason to conclude that there was any official military acknowledgement of an actual alien invasion. And further, it turns out that the magnitude of the gunfire and panic has been exaggerated over the many tellings and retellings of the story. So while in town for the 50-year festival, Joe Nickel examined the police reports, and the contemporary news reports can be read by anyone in the Kentucky New Era's 2005 supplement. But it turns out that police found only a single hole in one screen, which is consistent with a .22 bullet. Lucky Sutton had a shotgun, and Billy Ray Taylor had a .22 target pistol. There were plenty of neighbors within earshot during the event, and the only neighbor who reported hearing any shots fired heard only a grand total of four, which he mistook for firecrackers and ignored. Now, that's not to say that the family wasn't genuinely frightened. You know, I mean, I believe they were. Many believe they were. Even the skeptics do. And many believe that their report to police was honest and from the perspective of people who had undergone some sort of traumatic ordeal. Lucky Sutton is described by ufologists to have been a rock solid, no nonsense kind of guy who would never make up a story. And maybe he was and maybe he wasn't. But, you know, it really at the end of the day, it doesn't matter as much. It just, you know, It kind of raises the big question of the day, you know, what were these creatures that looked, you know, with these big eyes and skinny legged aliens? What were they? So Joe Nickel was actually really clear in his analysis, and He says that it aligned perfectly with the enormously detailed and thorough work done by French researcher Renaud Leclet in 2001. Now, although this might sound kind of cynical and dismissive, there are simply too many similarities between the creatures reported by the families and actually an aggressive pair of the local great horned owls, which do stand about 2/3 of a meter tall, for, you know, most skeptics to ignore. There's too many details that are similar. So despite the reports of 12 to 15 creatures, the families themselves stated that only once did anyone see as many as two at the same time. So keeping in mind that the farmhouse had no exterior lighting, the appearance of an adult great horned owl is substantially the same as that of the creatures described by Sutton and Taylor. And Leclet noted that during August, these owls are feeding their young, and they're known to be they're known to belligerently defend their nests and even attack humans who come too near. They hunt 1 hour after sunset, which is smack dab in the middle of when this firefight would have taken place. Nickel concluded, quote, "In summary, allowing for the heightened expectation prompted by the earlier flying saucer sighting and for the effects of excitement and nighttime viewing, it seems likely that the famous 1955 Kelly incident is easily explained by a meteor and a pair of territorial owls. What a hoot," end quote. So could it really have been just owls? You know, of course, we're never really going to know. It seems plausible. Then again, it also seems like that they would have been, you know, if they're in the woods, especially if they're living out there, if they're used to being out there, they would have been used to the wildlife in the area. So that part makes it sound unlikely. But again, the descriptions are so similar. And if they're shaken up already by a meteor that they didn't know, you know, it seems plausible that that could have been owls, or it could have been some spiritual thing. Maybe playing on their fears, you know, it could have been something like that. But I'm interested to know what you guys think. I'm split on this. I don't know what to think about it. I think it's an interesting story, for sure. But whether it's actually true or not, I really don't have a solid opinion. I mean, I would lean towards skepticism. I usually do with these things. It doesn't mean I'm a skeptic. I mean, shoot, I believe in demons and the fallen angels, and you know, I believe in a lot of stuff. But I think believe is the operative word there. I still think it's important to stay skeptical, especially if we're talking about things online, and especially if we're trying to teach people of things. It's good to hear out both sides of the story. So that's what I'm trying to do here. That's what I like to do. But I would love to hear your opinion of it. So leave me a comment in the comment section below.
You can help fight against censorship by making a one-time donation or setting up a monthly donation to Josh Peck Disclosure at joshpeckdisclosure.com/donate. Or for as little as $1 a month, you can become a Peck patron by heading over to patreon.com/joshpeck. As a Peck patron, you will be entered into contests to have your content featured on the Josh Peck Disclosure homepage, contribute chapters to a collaborative book with Josh Peck, and win a special Josh Peck collection full of materials worth hundreds of dollars. Also, for as little as $3 a month, you will have access to free downloads of Josh Peck books, such as Quantum Creation, Cherubim Chariots, and more. Josh Peck Disclosure is viewer-funded. Head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information. Right now, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com, the central hub for everything Josh Peck Disclosure. Every day, you'll get brand new videos, podcasts, updates, and more. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Also, make sure you click the bell and select the option to always be notified when a new video is released. Follow Josh Peck Disclosure on Twitter at jpdisclosure and get involved with the show on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Disclosure. If you're on Steemit and prefer DTube, follow Josh Peck at steemit.com/@Josh Peck and make sure to upvote all Josh Peck Disclosure DTube videos. Keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com for news, information, updates, and more.